Welcome back to the Macro Golf Podcast. Back here with Sam. Sam, how are we doing?
All good. A little bit sore. Getting some fatigue now after my workout. I've just done a podcast. We've just done until the second, and I've been sat down now for probably too long. My legs are feeling it.
There we go.
First day of switching out a different phase in my program, which is what we're going to kind of speaking about today. So I went from doing isometric work, so lots of pauses at the bottom of sets, to then jumping up. Today was a volume day. So gone from like 5 reps to 10 reps. And now my legs are just like mush.
It's far from the off season, right? You haven't got to worry about that.
No. Absolutely. Golf to play, so yeah. No golf, unfortunately. Yeah. Got to get the gains elsewhere.
Quick question. What do you do with this is completely off topic of today's podcast, but what do you do for recovering? Do you just let yourself go through the process and just recover? Or do you do anything to try and speed up your recovery? Any foods, any tactics you take in?
I wouldn't say anything changes based on like a different phase. At the moment for recovery, I'm plunging. So I've got a plunge in my garden, which now is freezing, so it's about 3-4 degrees. So I do that about 4 times a week. That is, I've seen a massive help with inflammation. I still sometimes suffer with my back after big sessions like that. It just gets a little bit tight. But I've been doing that for a month and a half. That has been a huge difference. Perhaps I'd have a little bit more protein, and then I'd always do a stretch out later on in the day after a big heavy session like today. So I'll do a little mobility flow from the Macro Golf app. I'll pick one of your amazing videos.
Little plug.
But yeah, nothing too dissimilar to daily things of making sure I'm getting my protein, hydration, sleep, all of the fundamentals though.
Yeah, nice. Good boy. Very good. That's what people want to hear. Absolutely. Okay, cool. So today we're actually talking about exactly what you mentioned. We're talking about when and how we start to change our training plans to make them stop being boring, to break plateaus, to avoid just getting kind of stagnated in our routine. We're talking about which exercises we should swap out, when we should swap them out, how we swap them out, how we make decisions on doing that. We'll talk about rep ranges, sets. We'll talk about tempo that you mentioned there. And also we can talk about time per week programming as well. You may be moving from an upper body, lower body split to a full body split to a push-pull split. And what options people have both within the workout itself, the exercise itself, and within the plan itself to keep moving forward, not get bored, and make sure that we still make progress, right? That's the goal of today. So yeah, I think it's an important one because we always talk about how to motivate people to start training. We also talk about what we've done a podcast today already on how we do programming and how things are programmed. But there's a lot of people that have following the same program for weeks, months, years. I've spoken to people who have been doing the same program for years. And I say to them, okay, have you got much stronger in the last couple of weeks? And they say, what? And I say, have you got stronger in the last 3 months? And they go, what do you mean? Have you got stronger in the last couple of years? I have no idea what you're talking about. That means that program is no longer doing its job. It's no longer as effective as it could be. And that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid people getting stagnated and continue to progress. So where do you want to start, Sam? Where do we get started with this?
So I think I want to start with the boredom one, I think. And with clients perhaps getting bored towards end of programs or not even clients, anyone getting bored of your workouts, of your sessions, how to then kind of reinvigorate, get back the interest in the workouts. It's one thing I've probably had to compromise a little bit with my programming. I mean, I am an absolute psychopath. I could probably go to the gym for the rest of my life and not do a new exercise. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't need to switch anything up. I could keep them all the same. I'm not saying that I would do them exactly the same, which is what I want to talk about today. I would be changing tempo, weight use, reps, rest, all of that would change. But that's not the general population. That's not what most people are. Most people like to learn different skills, do different movements, and when is best to do that, right? And it's finding the balance between not going into the gym every time you're there and doing a new exercise, because we're just going to see zero progress, and then doing the opposite and just doing the same thing over and over again, and then you get bored and you're not seeing the results. So the question is, like Josh just said, when's the time to change it? When are we swapping it out? If you've got a plan, it's probably going to be a bit, be dictated by how long the plan was. Was it a 2-week foundation plan? Was it 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, even 12, 16 weeks? How long was that? And probably when you've got to the end of that, then you know it's time to switch it up. If you're not following a plan, the answer is why not? Why are you just going to the gym? And I have this conversation all the time. You just go to the gym, you jump on a treadmill, you then go to a few machines that are empty, do a little bit there, and then go back. And they're the people that probably, like you said, don't see the progress.
Yeah, it's a good point you make. I think just as you were saying that, I was thinking of what happens with me and my clients. And I definitely think that the client gets bored of an exercise before the exercise becomes needing to be changed, right? So the boredom or the desire to want to change something happens before the exercise becomes
obsolete, right? Time. Yeah.
And that might be that because a client is paying for programming, and maybe they believe that actually, you know, I'm paying for programming to happen, and I expect to see really cool, clever, interesting new programming all the time. Yep. Right. We don't do that. That's not what we do, because we care more about the result than we do trying to impress people. But I understand people's viewpoint on that. Yeah. I understand that also people can get bored if they're doing the same thing often. And I get it. I do believe though that it's the first few weeks we notice progress. It's almost like another little stepping point where we then get really good at exercise and our skill level of that exercise improves. Then we see a really deep improvement after that. Like, I see people improve like week one, week two, week three, week four. And the people that stick with it, they get this like surge of in like week five, week six, week seven, week eight. They get like a real good forward momentum. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I'm always hesitant to change anything within the first like 8 weeks. I always try and let people get at least 8 weeks, especially with the big movements.
They're skills. They're skills, aren't they? It's just like a golf swing. It's being able to do that movement pattern correctly. And the more time you spend on it, the better you get at it. So not only are you getting stronger, but you're actually getting more efficient at the lift. And like Joe said, I completely agree with that. It's so important to get the skill better for the longevity of your training history. So if it is, like Joe said, they're a big movement. So let's say it is a squat, some sort of goblet squat or back squat, whatever that might be. If you can get your squat excellent for the rest of your life, you will reap the rewards of that. So if you can really spend the time getting that skill as good as possible, honing that movement to the best of your abilities, so important. And your results will just be so, so much better.
Yeah. Like, think of it this way, right? If you've never squatted before and you first start squatting, at the start, you're going to be improving both your skill. I'll really try and keep this in simple terms. You're going to be improving both your skill and your strength.
Yeah.
Right. So both of those things are going to be increasing at the same time, which is why we see such a quick increase over the first like small period. Then once the skill starts to plateau off, then it will just be the strength that's increasing. Right. So it's almost like to cut off that early, you're almost losing out on the strength benefit because you've got so much skill benefit, you're getting less strength benefit. If someone's to actually measure your absolute strength with no skill, you'd probably be way stronger than the weight that you're lifting on that exercise at that time.
Yeah.
So we're almost cutting ourselves short of being able to develop our strength and all the benefits that comes with that if we cut off the exercise while we're still developing skill.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Where 100%. My thoughts on that change is if the exercise is a, you know, let's think completely outside the box. If the exercise is more of like a balance, skill, agility exercise, then the purpose is the skill and the exercise. And then maybe we swap that out and make that a bit harder, quicker. Right.
Yeah.
But if we're trying to build strength, we're trying to build muscle, we're trying to get that stimulus to the body, we need to develop skill in that exercise to then really reap the benefits, like you said.
100%.
I've actually never thought of that before, apart from now. So there you go. That's
great. One thing I like to do with that to keep that same exercise interesting and still switching it up is I play massive about with tempos for clients. So whether it's going, so if you're let's stick with a squat. If you're taking 3 seconds to get down to the bottom of your squat and then driving up for 1 second there, or if you're doing a isometric 3 second pause at the bottom, it's still the same exercise. We're still getting that skill better, but rather than just doing that same tempo for 8 weeks, I typically like to switch out tempo every four weeks or so. And that will be dictated by the goals, obviously. But it's one thing that's so within a squat, like within a squat, you've got so much variation where you do heels elevated on a wedge, whether you wear shoes that aren't as high wedged up, but you're still, we get different stimulus there. If we go a wider stance, if we go narrower stance, you go 1 foot back, the other foot back, like you have so many, if you're adding a pulse in, you've got so many variations within that movement to get better at the skill. But I don't think you should be, like Joe said, switching exercise before you've really mastered the movement and then got the benefits of the strength gains from it.
Yeah, 100%. In the same way that, like, I think it becomes more important with the big foundational compound exercises, like the things that really make up the bulk of your training plan. And if you're not following a plan currently, I'll probably jump back one episode and start listening to the episode where we talk about how we actually build out programs and how that's formulated. But we're talking about, you know, we spoke about the squat there. Maybe we're talking about a bench press. Maybe we're talking about a deadlift. Maybe we're talking about these big movements that form a big part of your training program. We really need to keep those in there for a long period of time to really reap benefits. The little exercises you add on the end, the little bits of cable rotations or the little bits of maybe you're doing some arm exercises, whatever, not as important. Swap those out, make that fun, make that more interesting. But these big movements, like, really keep them in for a long period and get the benefit of that.
Yeah, completely agree. The accessory movements after your first few exercises, have fun with those. We spoke about that a lot with Dave Bartlett, the golf pro that was on, and he just chucks exercise in for fun. Just make the gym your playground. Really enjoy those ones. Switch them up so you're not getting bored. The fundamental ones, they're called fundamentals for a reason, right? Like, get as good as you can at those movements and you'll see the benefits there. How often should we be switching out plans then to stop getting bored? I know we've kind of touched on this with the last one and it's dictated by so many different things. For someone's building a plan, how long would you typically want it to last?
Your answer is it depends, right?
I knew you were going to say it.
my honest answer is, typically I will do 8 weeks typically with my clients. And what I also like to do is, again, this all comes down to the psychology of it. Like, I like to get them to the end of that plan and I like to give them a whole new plan. And the reason I like to do that is because it gives them a bit of a buzz and that they get that energy back. Like, oh, I can't wait to get in tomorrow and like start that new plan. And I think that's important because I think we can sometimes lose that excitement of,
absolutely,
you know, I don't have that. I don't have an excitement to go, like, I mean I go to the gym and I enjoy it, but I don't have that buzz like, I can't wait to go tomorrow and start that new whatever. And I think that's important. I think it's important that we keep clients on that, and I think it's important that we have that as long as we can. So I like to change the whole plan, and I would typically do 8 weeks, typically. Sometimes it's less if we're working for a bit more of like a rehab thing. So sometimes people want to change after 2 weeks, after 4 weeks, like if it's more of like a building people back. And some of my longer term clients will leave it for 12 to 16 weeks.
Yeah.
Because they've had time to learn this, what we're talking about today. They've had time to learn and understand that. So they don't need that extra buzz.
Extra change each time. Yeah.
Their buzz is that they've just added 2.5% to every lift every week. And then now they're like lifting way more than they were before. Like, that's their buzz. It does depend on the person, but I think I'd probably put people in three categories. One are my long-term clients or the pros that kind of just do it because they know they're going to do it and they're going to get a benefit of that. 12 to 16 weeks. Clients that I've been working with for a little bit less time, I'll tend to move things around 8 weeks. And also that gives them opportunity to find things they enjoy and find things they're good at. And then rehab clients are probably want to maybe every 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whenever's kind of needed.
I think that's a great point there in terms of choosing plans, and it depends on personalities. Like, we work with clients for long enough to know that who needs to switch it up slightly more and who can just stick with it, grind it out. Perhaps the new buzz isn't there, but they know that they're getting the rewards from it and they're seeing it. And the key here, guys, if perhaps I'd say, if you are getting bored of your training and your workouts, is, are you tracking it? So are you keeping track? Is it working, right? Because then you can see, right, if it's working, you go, right, I might not be enjoying it, but I'm getting stronger, or what, I'm getting quicker. Whatever the goal is, I'm moving better, I'm moving more efficient, I'm jumping higher. If it's working, it might give you a little bit more motivation just to stick it out that little bit longer. So yeah, are you keeping track of things? And if not, start, basically. Start like tracking. We've done podcasts about this. I've written blogs about this. Tracking, keeping progress is so important to keeping you on track with not getting bored and not switching up. Because the science is there, guys. Is if you're going into the gym every single time, asking your body to do completely different movements, different adaptations, you're just not giving it the chance to recover and get stronger in those movements. It goes into a bit of a frenzy of like, I'm doing so many things, I'm just not getting progress in any of those areas. So just write a plan, stick to it, and you'll see better results.
Yeah, and when is the time in that case to change? So what are some signals that we can use from either what we can notice in our bodies, or maybe it's some feedback you've received from clients? Like, at what point is the correct time to start changing that stuff up? And I suppose for you, like, again, you asked me the question of how many times, like, what would be your answer to that? And what type of cues are you looking for when you think, okay, now is the time to start swapping this exercise and moving this exercise and doing stuff? And how drastic do you go? Do you completely change everything? Do you change the whole format? Do you change the whole structure? Or do you just move a few exercises, a few sets, a few reps and tinker?
So I'll start with the first one, which is how do you know when to change? And that will, like I just said, be based off results. So if we're starting to see certain movements plateau off, or if it's for muscle gain, if weight's kind of staying very similar and we're plateauing off into the metrics that we test at Macro Golf, if I'm starting to see that, I might say, right, now maybe a week earlier, 2 weeks earlier than the 8 weeks, we need to switch it up. Or like we said, if clients are getting bored, I'd switch it up. I've no problem. I'd much rather keep the person exercising in a much less efficient way than them just getting bored and stopping fully. Because I think that's more important than the most effective, most perfect plan to follow. It doesn't matter if you're not doing it right. In terms of your second part, is how drastic would I go? So it completely depends on how long that plan has been. So if it's been a slightly longer 8 weeks or 12, 16 weeks, then it'll be completely drastic, because chances are we're going into a different focus, a different goal that we're trying to achieve, right? So we might have the first 12 weeks might have been, right, I just want to get as strong as possible. Maybe that was during the off season. Then the next 12 weeks is, right, now I want to get with that strength. I want to learn how to move that as quickly as possible so I can start hitting the ball a little bit further, get a bit more club speed. That would be a drastic change in terms of exercise layout, exercise selection and tempo and reps. Everything would change there. If it was a shorter one and we're just trying to keep someone stimulated within 4-8 weeks, we'd play about with a few of the accessories like we spoke about. So chucking some different accessories there, maybe change the fundamentals up. So rather than doing a goblet squat, we might do a front squat. So we're really doing the same movement pattern, but we've just got a different way of doing it and a slightly different skill to keep the client interested. But for something like that, I wouldn't be changing up reps and rest and tempos and all of that. We'd just be looking to kind of get that buzz again.
Yeah, I think your phrase of it depends really is key with this one. I think, you know, I've changed plans with a client after 4 weeks. Like,
yeah,
wasn't the right thing to do. Absolutely, if we were doing it on the science, but it was the right thing for them at that time to keep their motivation, to keep their interest, to keep them wanting to go back into the gym. That was the right thing to do with that client at that time. It's not textbook, but it was needed, right? So I think it's I think you're right. I think it depends on the person. It depends on their feelings and how do we keep that person exercising at all costs.
Which for 90% of our clients is the most important thing. Like, how can we keep you in the gym and keep you enjoying it? It's not how can we design and get you working out at the most efficient 100% plan that there is, because chances are that won't be realistic to the lifestyle that person leads.
Yeah. Or you might, you know, I receive messages every week. Oh, just feeling a little bit stiff in whatever. Okay, just swap this for this week. You know, that's also a change to a plan, right? Yeah. I slipped down the stairs and I hurt my ankle. Okay, well, now we're going to do this, and this instead, right? Like, we can constantly, these things are not set in stone. They're constantly fluid, but we're just trying to keep the bulk as best we can.
The core, though,
exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Love it. Perfect. So what are some ways that people could change stuff if they are experiencing some plateaus themselves or their boards themselves? Like, what options do we have to make variations, or what categories of a plan can we?
Oh, we've got so many, guys. Yeah. Like, so many. Reps we spoke about, which would be dictated by goal and weight selection.
Should we do this again? Oh, you just give another one. We can do that. What's the game? We have to do, like, you do one, I do one. You do one, I do one.
Okay,
fine. See, we run out.
Well, you can't take those first two that I've said.
All right. So, were they sets and tempo?
Yeah, sets and tempo.
Okay, so I'm going to go with changing the reps, so we can alter our rep ranges. We can go from doing less reps to doing more reps and move things around that way.
Are we keeping, what is the outlines of the, what's the, am I, yeah, how much scope do we have to change?
Oh, babe, as much scope as you want. Do whatever you want.
As much scope as I want. So go from, so this would be changing the actual workout itself. So perhaps you go from a upper body, lower body split to a full body split.
Nice. So changing, like, the exercise structure. Good. I'll stay on that theme then. And changing the days that we go. So in changing the intensity of each session. So looking to increase frequency and decrease the intensity. So we'll do more times per week for shorter sessions.
Yep.
That's a big effect on people's motivation, actually.
Oh, it really does, doesn't it? It's a really fun one to play about with that, actually, to actually say to someone, right, you're going to spend half the time in the gym. You might just be going twice or doing exactly the opposite, which I think is quite a good effect. So I want you to go to the gym less. I just want you to do more when you're there. Rest periods. So within that, changing exercises from just perhaps saying you're doing one set rest to doing, oh, you've got so many here, to doing supersets. So doing, you're going to pair exercises up together. So you're going to do a, whatever it is, whatever they might be, to just make your training a little, change that stimulus ever so slightly.
Yep, nice. I'm going to go for, I'm trying to do one that's a good example of something I've done with someone recently. I'm going to go for mixing in, like alternating the purpose of exercises. So working a strength exercise with a power exercise and a power exercise with a muscle building exercise. So for people that are trying to build clubhead speed, it's a really interesting one to start playing with, because they want to be doing these moves that they believe are going to be the moves that are going to help them swing the golf club faster, like explosive jumps or throws or this type of stuff. But if we just did jumps or throws, we wouldn't build the foundational strength.
You'd plateau so quickly. Yeah.
Exactly. So starting to play around with that stuff and moving these things together works really well for people. So I've actually something I've done actually recently this month, I've done that with someone that's been an interesting change, and that's really excited their like interest, because they can start to see the explosive work they're doing with the gym work.
So really, 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 really fun one to do. Similar on that kind of line, I like to pair. It's exactly the same thing. I'm just changing an example. No, so I'll move on from that, because I was just literally about to say basically what you said, just in a different way. I should have written these down to see what's been said now. It would just be changing goals. Like, what are we now training for? Because that dictates absolutely everything we've just said. So we've been working on strength for 8 weeks. Right, now let's just work on power. Let's see how quick
change our perception. Like, yeah, actually be like, now we're building strength. They're like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, strength.
Yeah. And this is a really, really fun one that I've done a lot with clients recently, is focusing on the intent of the movement. So if it is a,
love that,
if it's a squat, how quickly, how much intent can you have on the way up? Now, it doesn't matter if you're not moving as 100% without a weight on you, but having that intent there really dictates on the outcomes and the physiological changes that we're trying to then get out of that.
Yeah, changing the intent is a big one. One we've not said yet, changing exercises. We haven't actually said changing exercises. It's such a simple one. But we can keep the same sets, the same reps, the same purpose, the same tempo, the same intensity, But instead of doing pull-ups, we're doing lat pull down. Instead of doing a bent over row, we're doing a seated row machine. Like, just by changing the exercise, can completely change the perception of the workout that person is doing, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of similar to what I said though there about doing supersets. You could switch out completely and do your workout as a circuit. So you could just go six and then just do it all without any rest, and then go rest at the top, but go back again. That completely changes it up again.
Just blitz it. Yeah. The other one I've got is to include some partial reps. I use that sometimes if I'm trying to break strength plateaus with people. So things like squatting onto a high box, or moving from a deadlift to a rack pull, something like that can sometimes trigger some strength change for people and make things.
I think that's a really, really good one. I've noticed this a lot with clients trying to get into the 100 kilograms and above. So maybe they've been moving 90 kilograms or 95 really well, and then you're just trying to get them into the 100, and just psychologically they can't do it, or they feel like they can't do it. All of a sudden you get them doing a partial squat into a safety bar just at halfway.
They just feel the weight on their back. They feel the weight in their hands. They know that they can carry that weight and they can experience it. So it's a great.
I often with clients for trying to break PRs and stuff, literally just say, just put that weight on the bar and just unrack it and just stand with it. Just like you just said, just feel that weight on your back, rather than having that for the first time, then trying to do a squat for the first time. You've got those two things. At least then you know you can hold it. Even with that, you can go way higher than the lift that you're trying to actually achieve. So if you're trying to squat 105, just put 110 on and just stand. Just stand for like a couple of seconds, a couple of deep breaths there, really get used to feeling it. And then you take it off again and start getting into those lifts. Those things are fantastic to break plateaus.
Also build your confidence of having to rack and re-rack, which is actually when you get to reaching, I don't know, for anyone's actually tried to reach and trying to increase their one rep max on a squat or bench press is a scary one. Trying to increase your one rep max on those things is scary, right? Like, you're worried about racking and unracking for your health and for the fact that you might die. So just getting used to like holding that weight and experiencing racking and unracking this weight can definitely help browse plateaus for sure. Margo, your go.
I think it's my guy, Joe. I was just distracting you, really, because I'm trying to think.
That's fine. It worked.
You said partials. That was drop sets would be another one. Particularly if you're trying to maybe build some more muscle, so you go from one lift straight into the same lift just with less weight, and just trying to get to push into failure. Or getting as close to failure as you can is a really exciting way. Drop sets are a really good way of switching things up.
We'll do one more then, and we'll call it a day, so that no one loses or wins. I'm going to go with moving exercise onto single leg or single arm. So we can do the same exercise, but single arm. So, for example, let's say an incline dumbbell bench press, one of my favorite exercises. We could actually just do that single armed. Same exercise, we just do it single armed.
A complete different skill. Like go and try that one, guys, and just see how much more your core has to activate just doing it single handed. Like, it's such a same exercise, but a complete different feeling.
Yeah. Or for anyone that can see us, for anyone's watching it instead of listening, you could do one where you take both arms up at the top and then you just alternate one arm down and then the other arm down, leaving the same at the top, right? And you'll be surprised at how much weight you can lift doing that. Like, I tell you now, for anyone who's reached a plateau in their strength of that exercise, go and you probably better lift the same weight doing it that variation, but you're just loading on a different side. You'll use that as a bit of a plateau leg breaker as well.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, really like that.
Giving people loads of options there.
Yeah, 100%. And guys, if you are stuck for exercises, you can download the app for free, the MacroGolf app for free, and just have a look through our hundreds of exercises that there are. Go onto the filters, break down into the movement patterns, or even if you don't want to do that, just body parts, equipment that you have, and it is all there for free, guys. Step further, if you're actually looking to follow some plans and have some plans written out for you, they're all on the MacroGolf app. You can get 7-day free trial just to have a look at those. There's some fantastic plans on there, and mobility plans and absolutely everything else if you wanted to check those out.
Yeah, I've just done a quick search there. Currently we have 272 strength exercises on the app.
You were adding some more this morning, weren't you?
I did. So there we go. We've got more. So plenty of options, and you know, you can obviously just filter those through on body part or by a movement group. So yeah, you're never going to be short of ideas on how to kind of keep this stuff working, and obviously using all the principles we've just mentioned there in that little game that we played. You've got loads of ideas on how to use these exercises in different ways as well, which can help you out.
Perfect, awesome. I think that wraps it up, guys. So
it does.
Never an excuse to get bored of your workouts. Like, there's always so much you can change, and sometimes change it up. Other times, don't change it up. It just depends on you. Depends where you are in that, and you'll know if you haven't changed your workouts in ages. Like, give them a go. Change some stuff out. We've just listed probably about 10 things that you can play about with there. And if you are one of those guys that likes changing it up frequently, maybe just stick to it a couple weeks longer. Really try and get good at the skill before you then jump onto the next new shiny thing.
Good summary.
There we go. Good summary. Awesome, guys. We'll catch you on the next one.